From the newsrooms of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where climate change poses a major threat to the city and the region. Now, a new report from the United Nations says things are getting worse than ever. WBUR environmental reporter Barbara Moran has been reading the report and talked to some of the authors. She's here now to help us understand what this could mean for New England. Hey, Barbara, long night?
Yes, it's been a couple long nights. Actually, it's a huge report.
I tell you, that climate change is no joke. So, you know, because this report sounds very heavy. You know, can you give us a quick overview?
Yeah, this one is kind of a biggie. It comes out of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Everybody called it the IPCC. And this group was formed in the late 80s to give world governments the latest information about climate change. So this huge group of hundreds of scientists from all around the world, they get together about every 6 or 7 years and put out a big set of reports. So this is one of three that they're putting out this year. This is the sixth time that they've done it. So there's one that came out last August that gave all the latest science about climate change. And this report that came out Monday gives everything that we know about the impacts of climate change, what it's going to do and what we're going to see on the ground.
And also, I saw that this report says that almost half the people on Earth are already in danger from climate impacts like extreme heat, drought, wildfires, and lack of fresh water. It sounds like this is pretty serious stuff here.
I mean, it's really heavy to read this, you know, and I want to play you this one clip just because I found it so striking. It's from Antonio Guterres. So he's the Secretary General of the UN. And when he introduced the report yesterday, he gave the statement, and it's really hardcore. So I just want to play a clip from that.
I've seen many scientific reports in my time, but nothing like this. Today's IPCC report is an atlas of human suffering and a damning indictment of failed climate leadership. With fact upon fact, this report reveals how people on the planet are getting clobbered by climate change.
So it actually got worse after that. He went on to say that the abdication of leadership is criminal and the world's biggest polluters are guilty of arson on our only home.
Oof. Guilty of arson on our only home. That is very damning.
Yeah, seriously. There's a famous climate scientist named Michael Mann, and he said that these IPCC reports are the closest thing we'll ever get to scientists standing on the roof and screaming at the top of their lungs, and that's what it felt like.
Yeah, man. So now what about New England? Because here in Boston, we're seeing the effects of climate change. You know, last summer was the hottest ever on record. But, you know, despite all this, we seem to be getting by okay, right?
Right. I mean, we're not seeing like the huge wildfires or anything that they're seeing in California. So we've been, I guess, kind of lucky so far. But looking forward, as a coastal city, one of our biggest risks is flooding and sea level rise. So the sea level is going to rise here in Boston at least a foot by 2050, probably more. And what that looks like, to put that in some kind of context, is in 2019, there were about 7 days of high tide flooding when it floods down the Long Wharf down by the aquarium. So by 2050, there'll probably be about 95 days of high tide flooding. So then it becomes almost a regular thing, right? So when I talked to this Tufts professor, Erin Coughlin de Perez, she's one of the authors on the report. She said what else we should worry about is something called compounding impacts, like when we get high tide and a big storm and a ton of snow melt all at the same time.
And of course, you know, when we think about all this, you know, we have to think about low-income residents, you know, neighborhoods where a lot of people of color live, like it's going to hit them the hardest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of racist practices like historic redlining, poor people and people of color are more likely to live in flood-prone areas.
Now, we've already seen some of this with the pandemic through all the shortages at stores and restaurants, you know. OK, and so now we're at flooding and food shortages. What else should we be looking out for?
Well, one of the really interesting things in the report for me anyway was that it actually talked about tourism impacts, including skiing and other winter sports here in the Northeast. Right now, ski season here is about 5 or 6 months long, but global warming is changing that. Here's Clark University professor Edward Carr. He was a lead author on the report.
We're looking at by 2050 at a ski season that's 15% shorter than it is now. And that's business as usual. It could be much shorter if things were to accelerate.
So you may hear that and be like, oh, skiing, who cares? But, you know, winter tourism supports more than 20,000 jobs in New England, and it contributes about $1 billion a year to the regional economy.
Wow, 20,000 jobs. But we can make snow, right?
Yeah, we can make snow up to a point, but the ideal temperature for making snow is 28 degrees, and at some point, you just can't do it. And that's one of the big takeaways from this report, is that we're starting to get to what these scientists call hard limits, like when you just can't fix a problem. And here's Professor Carr from Clark again.
A hard limit to adaptation is when we cross a biophysical threshold and there's nothing you can do about it. No amount of money, no amount of technology is going to fix the problem.
Sheesh. It sounds like we really got to get this stuff together.
No kidding. This is why reading these reports gets me so stressed out. But Carr and the rest of the scientists did end on a hopeful note. And that's the other big takeaway, that we still have time, but we need to make big changes as quickly as possible. And the quicker we get moving, the more options we'll have.
I hear that. And we better get on it. So WBUR environmental reporter Barbara Moran, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is going on. Today, Boston launched a 2-year pilot program that will provide free bus service on routes 23 and 29, while continuing free service on Route 28. The routes run through Dorchester, Mattapan, and Roxbury. The city hopes to measure the benefits of free service and continue the success of the initial Route 28 pilot, which increased ridership and shortened wait times. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says the city hopes to make transit more equitable going forward.
Our goal is to make sure that Boston can be a proving ground, joining with communities across the state that are really transforming what's possible for our residents by taking down barriers to access, making bus service more reliable, more affordable, and more accessible to all.
Now, riders will still need to pay for transfers to other routes and rapid transit. And Boston is not alone. All service on the Merrimack Valley Regional Transit Authority is now fare-free as well, with the exception of commuter bus rides to Boston. The agency serves 16 communities north of Boston with its bus and paratransit routes. Both programs are being funded through federal COVID relief funds, and both are set to run through 2024. In other news, Governor Charlie Baker is applauding Mayor Wu for her proposal to limit the hours protesters can demonstrate outside of people's homes, including her own. Wu says that since taking office, protesters have picketed her house as many as 5 days a week, every week, over mask and vaccine mandates. That's something Governor Charlie Baker can probably relate to. He's also had people protest outside of his home in the past.
The real issue is you're waking up my neighbors, and they're private citizens, and they have rights too. And I do think this is a worthy topic, and I give the mayor credit for putting it on the table in Boston.
Wu's proposed ordinance would prohibit protests in Boston targeting single-family homes and apartments between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. And that's all for today. From WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Please remember to be kind to each other. Talk to you tomorrow. Hey, you're obviously a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just the local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.